another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God and the instructions that are clear to us through the teaching of your word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who gives us understanding and direction and conviction and helps us to apply the Word of God to our daily lives. Lord, I believe there's something here for all of us, husbands as well as wives, wives as well as husbands. And I pray, Lord, that we will each be attentive to what your Spirit is saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we're talking about exhortations to holy living in Ephesians chapters 5 and 6. Holy living. We're to be holy as God is holy. He says several times in the Word, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Holiness, of course, has to do with our conduct, the way we live, the way that we respond to God, the way we demonstrate our fear of God, and the way that we obey the Word of God. So holiness, remember the subject that we are dealing with here. We're talking about submission, walking in submission. And we're all to be subject one to another, and we're all to be submitting one to another. Verse 21, we covered that several months ago. We're getting back to that point today. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's not just a one-way street. It's not just that wives submit to their husbands, but there's a sense in which the husband submits to his wife and to his children and to his family members and to his employees, if that be the case, as fulfilling his by fulfilling his responsibilities of caring for and protecting and demonstrating God's love and so forth. So the subject being holy, holy living, submitting to one another in holiness, it goes back to chapter 4, verse 1, where we are told to walk worthy of the vocation, the calling, or the work to which we have been called. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So walking worthy as followers of God in holiness has something to do with our relationships one with another. And that's what we're talking about today. There's nothing more important than that we as children of God would grow and walk in holiness. That we would surrender ourselves unto the Lord as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And so for wives, our instruction here today for the wives is really just one thing that Paul talks about. Submission. Submission. In verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So we have just one main point today. You say, good, we're going to be out of here early. These chairs get a little bit hard. I was told last week they got very hard. But even though I only have one main point, I've got six subpoints. Six specific details about wives submitting to their husbands. And some of these are really intertwined. They're really the same thing, but saying it a little bit in a little bit different way. So we're going to go through these kind of rapidly. Six specific details for the wives who are to be submitting to their husbands And they're doing that because they want to be pleasing to the Lord. They want to live holy lives. They want to be doing what God's will is. To be holy is to be like God. Would you agree with that? I know you would agree with that. To be holy is to be like God. God is holy. Be holy, for I am holy. Well, what is God like? Well, we're told in the Bible, among many things, one of the main things, one of the chief characteristics that we're told very directly in 1 John is that God is love. God is love. And so to be holy, the wife needs to love as God would love. The wife, in a submission to her husband, is loving her husband by showing godliness through everything that she does. All of her actions should be godly in the way that she behaves toward her husband. Now, I said six specific details. The first one is that this applies to every Christian wife. Every Christian wife, regardless of whether her husband's a Christian or not, whether he is a godly man or not, she should demonstrate unconditional love for her husband, because that's what God would do for you and I. God's love would be unconditional. God loves us whether we're walking as obedient children or not. If we are His children, adopted into His family, we become part of the family of God, God loves us whether we're walking a very straight line of obedience and following His will, or whether we're being stubborn and rebellious. He'll correct us and chasten us because He loves us. That love is demonstrated toward us at all times and in all ways that God fulfills His will toward us. But in every situation, every Christian wife, regardless of her husband's actions, regardless of his attitude, regardless of his spiritual condition, or any other consideration, submission says, I will love you regardless. I will love you unconditionally. And so it applies to every Christian wife. If she wants to live a holy life, and I would hope that every wife would want to do that, every Christian wife, if she wants to walk worthy of the calling of God, if she wants to be a follower of God, she needs to accept that role to unconditionally love her husband. Secondly, it's applied, quote unquote, in the fear of God. Again, verse 21, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. We've talked about that before, and it simply means out of respect for the holy God who has saved us, who has adopted us, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Wives are to relinquish all of their rights willingly unto their husband out of respect to the holiness of God who made that a command in the Word. And so that is the submission. And the submission is to be voluntary, and it's to be a voluntary response to God's will by giving up her own independent rights of leadership and headship to her husband. That is his God-given responsibility. Thirdly, she is to submit to her husband as his counterpart or his helpmeet, his helper, one who is suitable for him. That goes back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. You're very familiar. When God created Adam, He looked at Adam and He says, it is not good that man should be alone, so He created Eve. And when He created Eve, He says that man needs to have a helpmate, a helper that is suitable for him, a helper who can aid him in doing his role and responsibility. And the only role and responsibility that God gives to fathers that we looked at last week was to, in dealing with his children, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She is his assistant or his counterpart in helping him to do that. And that's what it means to submit to your husband as a counterpart suitable for him and as an aid in helping him be a good father. The wife is not commanded to obey her husband. Yeah, that's right. I said that. You heard that correctly. There's no command here in Paul's exhortation to wives to obey the husband. You say, what are you talking about? Well, it says submit. It doesn't say obey. Children in chapter 6, verse 1 are told to obey their parents. Slaves or servants are to obey their masters. But the wife is to submit. It's a different word. The word submit is hupotasso, and the word obey is hupokuo. You say they're really close, they're really similar. Yeah, that's true, but they are slightly bit different. Listen carefully, men. A husband is not to treat his wife as a servant or a child, but as an equal for whom God has given him the care and responsibility for providing for her and protecting her. And that providing and protection is to be exercised, again, in love. She is to submit to him in love. He is to protect and provide and love her in love, in Christian love. And so that is very important. He's not to treat his wife as a slave. Now, we're going to talk about, and it's going to sound contradictory, we're going to talk about the fact that wives should serve their husbands. And you say, well, a servant serves. And we're also going to talk about the fact that husbands are to serve their wives. But the way I'm talking about this in this point is they're not to be treated as a slave. You get the point? There's a difference between a servant and a slave. A slave is somebody that the master has the authority and the right. It's his job to bark out orders. Do this, do that. That's not the husband's prerogative to his wife. She is not his slave. He's not to go around the house barking out orders and telling her what to do. In love, he realizes she is his assistant, his counterpart, the one who helps him fulfill his husbandly responsibilities as a father and as a husband. And so she is not his to order about, responding to his every wish and whim. And as Paul proceeds to explain in considerable detail in verses 25 through 33, the husband's primary responsibility again is to love, provide, protect, and serve his wife and family. His responsibility is not to lord it over them as a master over a slave. And so we have to be very careful, men, that we do not cross that line. And women who are trying to be submissive to their husbands who may be ungodly or unsaved, who treat them as a slave, need to be loving them unconditionally, because as you love them unconditionally and treat them with respect and honor, even though they're not treating you that way in return, you will have a major impact on leading them to Christ, influencing them with the love of God. And so that's important. The fourth detail of our responsibility to wives in submitting to their husbands is they are to submit to their husbands as a co-laborer. And you say, well, that's the same thing as a counterpart. I said some of these things would be very similar and intertwined, but slightly different. I want to put the emphasis on the word co here, C-O, as part of the unit, the co-laborer. Look at the phrase in verse 22 again. Unto your own husbands. That word own, coupled with the word husband, has the idea of the intimate and mutual relationship in which she submits to him. He has a responsibility too. And you might say, oh, I know what you're saying. You're saying it's a 50-50, 50%, 50% operation. No, I didn't say that. As a matter of fact, A marriage is 100% and 100%. They both give 100% effort to the marriage, to the family, and they are co-laborers. They are working together in the Lord, wives to their own husbands, husbands to their own wives. Listen to Paul's words. This might help clear this up just a little bit. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. You've heard these before applied in a different way to the intimacy between a husband and wife. But it's really much broader than that. It's talking about something that's much broader than just that. Paul says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Let him give her what he owes to her as a husband. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. Give the husband what is due to him as her co-laborer. For the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife." Now again, this is not just talking about physical intimacy. It is talking about that. But it's also talking about helping one another achieve a life of holiness. That's what we're talking about. Living a holy life, holy living. We submit to one another, and the wives are to submit to their husbands as their own husbands, as a co-laborer, so that they can achieve together lives of holiness before the Lord. Husbands and wives, and this is another way of saying this, this might help clear this up a little bit more. Husbands and wives really belong to each other. They really belong to each other in absolute equality. Equality. And that's an important word when it comes to discussing the family, because husbands who don't have a proper understanding and practice of their role as head of the home and yet submitting to their wives and family will usurp that authority. And so he has to be very careful that he treats his wife as an equal co-laborer. Just like a business partner. In a business where the business relationship is 50-50, they treat each other with mutual respect. Mutual respect, because they are equal in power and authority. The husband has no superiority over the wife, just as she has no inferiority under him, any more than one who has the gift of teaching over the one who has the gift of helps. We are co-laborers in the Lord. So, fourth point, as a co-laborer. Number five, as a companion. And again, they're intertwined. A companion. The distinctions of headship and submission were ordained by God. And as a consequence of Eve's disobedience of God's command and her failure to consult with Adam about the serpent's temptation, God told her, listen, "Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Boy, husbands will take that out of context and again start treating their wife like a slave or a child. That's no, that's not the idea here. But as headship, there is a chain of command, and with authority and respect to one another, the wife will submit to that chain of command and recognize the headship of her husband and love him and help him as a helper to accomplish the goal of leadership of the home. With the fall came this curse. And with that curse, the battle of the sexes began. And that's where women's liberation actually started. It was in the garden. Did you realize that? Male chauvinism came into existence in the garden. when Adam and Eve, when Eve sinned and rebelled and Adam and Eve sinned, the curse started it all. Women, listen, women have a sinful inclination. Now, this is true, and I've seen this in ministry, and I'm not naming names. Don't add to my words. I'm not looking at anybody or accusing anybody, but in my years of ministry, I have noticed this to be true, that most women have a sinful inclination to usurp authority over men. But don't get proud, men. I'm not finished. And most men have a sinful inclination to put women down. And I say sinful inclination because it's something that all of us, men and women, have to constantly fight. We have to constantly battle that. We have to constantly keep that in check. And we have to constantly ask the Holy Spirit if there's any of that in my life. Do I treat my wife as an equal? Do I treat my wife with respect? Do I treat my wife with dignity? I should. That's my responsibility of submitting myself to her. And then she is not to usurp authority. She is not to try to rule over me, to go over my head, to take decisions away from me that should be mine to make. She has to constantly battle that. I'm not talking about my wife. She's a dear servant of God who loves the Lord. But anyway, I'm just talking about women in general. Let me say that again. Women have a sinful inclination to usurp man's authority, and men have a sinful inclination to put women at their feet. Be on guard for this. Be on guard for that. And it takes the powerful work of grace. Trust me, it takes the powerful work of grace to keep that created order in harmony of proper submission in a relationship that brings glory to God. Thus, our emphasis today on grace. So much grace is required in this area of wives submitting to husbands. I wasn't going to say this. This just popped into my head. It's not in my notes. But in my 40 years of ministry, I would say 90% of the marital counseling that I've done has been in the area of husbands that are putting their wives down, or wives that are not giving their husbands the proper respect. They have this area out of balance. They have this area, they do not have this area under biblical control. And so it's a real area of concern. Eve was created from Adam's rib and ordained to be his companion, not his slave. For the functional operation of the family, the husband was placed over the wife. For the functional operation of the family. And the man was called to be the provider, protector, guide, shepherd of the family. The woman was called to be supportive and submissive to him in that role. In a parallel passage to Ephesians 5:22, Paul said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord, as it is proper in the Lord." Colossians 3:18. And finally, a detail that's specific to this command to wives to submit themselves to their husbands, they are to do it as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Again, the end of verse 22. Everything we do in obedience to the Lord should be done first of all for His glory and to please Him. For His glory and to please Him. To those to whom we submit, they do not always earn our respect. They don't always inspire our respect. Why not? Again, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. Husbands are fallen, sinful creatures, just like every member of the human race. I've told you this before. Howard Hendricks, Dallas professor, deals with a lot of family and issues, teaches on the subject of family, or did at Dallas Seminary, and was a pastor for many years. He said every time he brings a young couple into his office for premarital counseling, the first thing he does is he sits the husband down privately without the future wife being in the picture, and he says, "I've got to tell you something. You're getting ready to marry a wretched sinner. She is wicked to the core. But God's working on her. It may take a lifetime, but God's working on her." And then he brings the wife in and he tells her the same thing. I'm telling you, that guy that you're getting ready to marry, he is a wretched sinner. Carnal to the core. But God's working on him. But you have to keep that in mind. And so when we submit to one another as unto the Lord, we're submitting to one another, even though that other person doesn't always earn or inspire our respect. Sometimes the husband will be thoughtless, selfish, inconsiderate, abusive, ungrateful. Sometimes the wife will be all of those things as well. But here's the thing, the Spirit-filled believer, in this instance the wife who's submitting to her husband, she will submit anyway because that's the Lord's will. And her submission will be to, not to her husband directly, but to the Lord first, unto the Lord. A wife who properly submits to her husband also submits to the Lord. That's the manner of submission, as unto the Lord. The how. How do I submit to this man who is carnal and abusive and selfish and mean? How do I submit to him? I do it as I would do to the Lord. The same way I would submit to the Lord, I'm going to submit to him. The motive of submission, verse 23a. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That's the why. Why do I submit to my husband who is not spiritual, who is not treating me right? Because God placed him in that position. His role is to be the head of the family. Even as Christ is the head of the church. God ordained it to be that way. That's why. The motive of submission. The model of submission in verse 33b, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence. The what? What is she to do? She is to reverence. Phobio. She is to fear. She is, the word fear means to show utmost respect. She is to respect her husband for his role, that he is her husband. When Bathsheba was married to King David, 1 Kings 1:31, it says, "Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, 'Let my lord, King David, live forever.'" She showed reverence, respect to him. I think this verse applies in amazing grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to show respect to people who don't earn it, who don't inspire it. And grace, in some situations, there are wives who fear their husbands in the wrong way, because their husbands are not treating them correctly. Grace is required in every marriage relationship. And finally today, we close with Peter's treatise on wives and husbands. If you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, this is very similar to how Paul stated it in Ephesians chapter 5. But I want you to listen carefully because these five verses really sum up all that we've said today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Peter writes, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." We were talking about that earlier. By showing respect and submitting to a husband, even though he may be carnal, she may win him to the Lord by her lifestyle. "While they behold your chaste conversation, your manner of lifestyle, your purity, coupled with fear, your respect for God, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or of wearing gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man or person of the heart." What you need to be inside. "In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, or adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Again, the subject today of wives walking in submission comes again in the context of being followers of God, being disciples of God. The most important relationship in the world is a true born-again relationship with God through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are all sinners. We're born into this world. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And because we're all sinners, we're all condemned. We're all destined to spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. The wages of sin is death, spiritual separation from God for all of eternity. Romans 6:23. And we would all like to think we're going to heaven, but Revelation 21:8 says, "All of the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." All of the unbelieving. And yet the good news is that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's right, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins and for my sins, so that by believing on Him, we can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the gift of God's grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's all about grace. Grace in our relationship with God, the grace that brings salvation. It's all about grace in the family, grace to submit to one another, grace for the wife to be submissive to the husband as a co-worker and co-laborer and a counterpart to him. The Bible says in Romans 5:20, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that You've given us this day to rejoice together in the truth of the Word of God. There are boundaries and restrictions placed upon every individual in this world, whatever relationship they may be in. For wives, those are clearly spelled out for us in Paul's epistle and Peter's epistle. We're very clearly taught how a wife is to be submissive to her husband, not as a slave, not as a child, but in counterpart to him, in agreement with him, in cooperation with him, in his duties and responsibilities as husband and as father. And the fathers and husbands are to be submissive to their wives by loving them, honoring them, considering them an equal partner in the relationship, helping them to help him do his job and his responsibility. She allowing him to have that leadership responsibility, understanding his role and his position in the family. She is under that, and she submits to that position because that is ordained of God. And yet, Lord, we realize that all of that requires grace. All of that does not come automatically. It doesn't happen just because we love our wife so much or the wife loves her husband so much that she's just willing to submit. But we submit one to another because You, Lord, You love us so much. You love us with an absolutely unconditional love. You love us so much that You were willing to send Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You love us so much that even though we are imperfect and we are carnal, we're not always spiritual, we're not always walking in obedience to Your will, You love us so much that You're willing to always be working on us, always creating the image of Your Son in us, forgiving us when we sin, forgiving us when we mess up, restoring us to fellowship when we've gone astray, when we've become prodigal in our relationships to one another. Your grace brings us back again. So we could just end this today by saying, Lord, it's all about grace. It's all about grace. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I've spoken to Christians today about their roles and relationships in the family. But what about your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? I would not want to go home today with the possibility that there might be someone here this morning who needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who needs to receive salvation, to be saved, to be born again. Is there anyone here today that would raise their hand and say, Pastor, I really need you to pray for me. I want to be sure when I go home today that I'm saved, I'm ready to go to heaven. Anyone at all? Father in heaven, thank You for this day. May Your hand be upon us and may You bless us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.